Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 17 of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me, as always, is first Estelle Vasudevan, who you can find at Estelle underscore Vasudev one or whatever her handle is, which I've forgotten once again. Something along those lines. And of course, Jared Kimber, who you can find absolutely everywhere. And the topic for today is all-time T20 12, not 11, because we're going to be drafting a 12th man as well. And basically four picks each in a snake style draft. And the order goes 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, as you all may know, whoever has been following Crick Picks. And pick number one has gone to Jared Kimber this time. And I think he'll be happy with that.
You say that. I mean, I should be happy with that. I think it probably has to be a batter. Think because batters face more balls than anywhere else. So I am going to go. Oh, this is not easy, is it? It should be an opener, but I'm not sure it is an opener for me. I'm going to go AB de Villiers.
Good one.
I think it has to be a batter that goes first. And I think he is the best batter that I have seen in T20 cricket so far. And he was really good at cricket. And I wrote a piece hilariously saying that I thought he could play into his 40s, like 42, 43. And I think he retired like while I was writing the piece. I honestly thought he was that much more talented than everyone else. He could have just gone on and continued to play and been incredible. But at his absolute best, I don't know how you bowled to him. And just a thorough professional, you know, did everything he had to do to get his career right. And he had every single shot. There was not a way that you could bowl to him, you know, that really bothered him. So, AB de Villiers.
I mean, he is the pioneer of 360-degree cricket, right? Like, he's the one who kind of started it. And he has the fastest 100 in ODI cricket. Got it off, 30 balls or something? So, AB was an obvious choice. He was in my top three as well. And it makes sense that you've picked him. Also, although there are a lot of hard-hitting keepers, if we don't end up selecting one of those guys, AB can keep wicket for us, right?
So that's what I was thinking as well. Yeah. I mean, I think his all-round ability helps us a little bit there, but, you know, we might find another wicketkeeper. Matty Wade might slip in.
There are a few, aren't there? My first pick, well, I was actually confused. If I got first pick, I would be confused between these two. You've picked one of them, so it's made my job easier. For my number one pick, I'm going to go Christopher Henry Gayle. And yes, of course, we all remember how Gayle took a little bit of time to get going. But on the days where he would get going, it was game over. Like, his team had won. And someone who could hit sixes for fun and literally without moving his feet as well, just stand and deliver. And he was a unit and a half, really. And Gayle also just was pretty much built for T20 cricket and has milked T20 cricket well into his 40s. Could roll his arm over as well. And I would just say that for someone who holds the record for most number of hundreds in the history of T20 cricket, which I think is 22, and I think the next best is Barber at 12. So that's the gulf that we're talking about over there. And someone who also, you know, might have been, you know, born just a tad bit early. Like, if Gayle had debuted in 2009 instead of 1999, who's to say how many records he would have broken in T20 cricket?
Did he debut in 1999?
In ODIs, yes.
Oh my God, how old is he?
The universe boss.
Yeah, look, it's the starting slow. But as an analytics person, I just couldn't have him ahead of AB de Villiers. But you could argue that he's more important than AB de Villiers because he's going to face more balls per game. Mm-hmm. He's going to have a bigger impact on the game than AB de Villiers. But either, I don't, you know, it's more about personal preference, but I think those are two, perfectly reasonable. The only other option would be whether someone went with an all-rounder or a bowler, and maybe you can make a claim for at least one all-rounder to be ahead of Chris Gayle, but he's probably in the top three or four, no matter who's making the list.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone creates an all-time T20 11 and doesn't have Gayle in there, I would question them, right? So, and AB for that matter. So both of those guys, definitely, it makes sense to have them. Now it's on to Estelle, who has two picks in a row, and watch her pick Sangakkara.
How can you do this every episode when you're the one picking Pakistanis?
Yeah, you just pick four Pakistanis in a
free episode. A lot of people give me shit for that in the comments as well. I'm just playing along. It's fun at this point. That's the only reason I do it.
Actually, just on Gail, right? And I remember during that 2008-09 through to 2012, it was almost unfair when he got going because you can't do anything once he starts... Once he gets past those first few deliveries to get going. And Sri Lanka, of course, suffered a few of his knocks. I think he hit a 300 in goal. So, I mean, in Test cricket, of course.
He played an innings against Sri Lanka in the semi-final of the 2009 World Cup, I want to say. Yeah, where Angelo Matthews took 12 wickets in the first over first and the game was over. And Gail just went ballistic anyway. In fact, that tournament was kind of the birth of what we knew of Chris Gayle. So I was at the Oval a lot during that tournament. So I think most of the games, I think it was Trent Bridge, Lords and the Oval. And I lived around the corner from the Oval, so I just went to all the games. And I saw him hit Brett Lee into the Archbishop Tennyson School. Right. That's not a joke about why Estelle picked Brett Lee in her last day. But he did. And he hit another ball onto the roof of the Oval. And then I was at the innings as well, where he destroyed, well, I shouldn't say that, but he kept West Indies in a game that they had no right to be in. So just a ridiculous player. He really, and that was early before we even knew who he was, right?
Also, first ever T20 World Cup, the inaugural game, in fact, South Africa versus the West Indies. He scored a ton, didn't he? And then Gibbs scored a ton, I believe, or at least South Africa chased that down. But I remember a Gayle 100 over there. I think...
I can't even remember back that far. But yeah, I think he actually... The weird thing is it took the IPL a long time to kind of wake up to him. And yeah, if you go back, it's like, what was everyone sleeping on? This guy's obviously next tier.
Yeah. Anyway, go on, Estelle.
Okay. Yeah, my first pick. So... I was going to pick two bowlers and now you guys have changed my mind. So I'm going to pick one of each. So a bowler first, Bumrah, right? I think he makes it into pretty much any all-time T20 team at this point. Just the impact he's had, and we've spoken about this in previous podcasts as well. Any phase, he's known a lot for the Yorkers and bowling in the death, but he can pick up wickets in any phase of the game. I think that's the most important thing about him. So he's my number one pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes total sense.
I think probably we've made a mistake in not having an all-rounder in our top three picks, but you could certainly make a claim that Bumrah is one of the most important players, one of the three most important players in the history of T20 cricket. So I don't have any issue with that. It's either you either pick Bumrah or you pick Rashid Khan as your first bowler, right?
Definitely. Nothing really needs to be said.
Malinga would be a big mistake. Imagine if you pick Malinga as your first pick. That'd be weird.
Ahead of Bumrah? All right, Estelle.
But you guys...
Who you have next?
He stayed fitter than Bumrah. I think that's one part about... Malinga in T20 cricket.
We're not judging the belly size over here. We're
we're talking about actually staying on the park.
Yeah.
Because there were other issues with this fitness.
Other issues. So that's my number one pick. Number two, I'm thinking about whether I should go with someone who I might lose out later on in the draft or just go with an opener. I'll go with Jos Buttler to open with Chris Gayle.
Okay. I didn't think that'd be our other opener. At least we've got a wicketkeeper now. We've got two wicketkeepers.
Yeah. Now we don't need to worry about the wicketkeeper at all. But honestly, he was on my list. Buttler was there. Obviously, he has to be. But I never thought he'd go, picked in the first four. Yeah. That's a surprise.
Yeah. So what made you take him over, someone like David Warner?
Yeah, I think Buttler... His ability to bat in different phases and he's able to do what the team requires. I think my mind goes back to a game against Sri Lanka where I think England was 60 for 4 or 60 for 5 in 10 overs where Buttler opened. And then he goes absolutely berserk in the last 10, gets to 100 and puts up a winning total. I feel like that kind of encapsulated what type of player he is because he's able to do anything on the field. Like if you need him to kind of soak up deliveries and, play that kind of knock, he can do it. But he can also really like the ideal anchor in a sense, in the fact that he can play both roles, right?
I love the fact that you told a story about why you picked Butler as an opener. And then you told us a story about when he batted at number six.
No, he didn't bat at six. Just... He was opening in that game. They lost
a lot of early
wickets, but he was there throughout the innings.
I mean, he's the sort of guy who, you know, could just get you a ton when there are only eight overs that have been bowled, right? Like, that's Jos Buttler. We've got two 360-degree players as well in Buttler and AB, so this team is shaping up nicely. And I mean, yeah, I would have picked Warner ahead of Buttler, but I'm not upset that we've gone with Butler ahead of Warner. I definitely
also two left-handers, right? If we picked Warner, we would have had two left-handers. Yeah,
that is true.
I think if you look at Butler, he has better opening stats than Warner. He averages more when opening the batting than Warner. And also, I think, just having a look, he's up on him on strike rate as well. They're about the same on strike rate. So it's fair, I think, you know. It's just, I would have thought the more, because of the amount of runs, most people would have defaulted to Warner. But I'm not against Butler. And Butler gives you something that Warner doesn't give you. He does give you that ability to wicket keep. And he's very, very fast between the wickets. So you're not losing anything. Although, not that you need to be fast between the wickets. You're batting with Chris Gayle, I suppose.
Yeah. And I mean, he is a T20 World Cup winning captain. So there's that. Can't take that away from Jos Buttler. I am surprised that I've gotten this pick. It's an obvious one for me at this point. Rashid Khan. Yeah, definitely. That's pick number two for me. And he picks himself in any T20 all-time 11. And I've mentioned this time and again, maybe on this podcast even, that he's an absolute cheat code in T20 cricket. And now he doesn't go for runs, and he also picks wickets in heaps. And after all of these years, people still struggle versus him the same. Recently, the Lahore Qalandars did not have him in their ranks in the PSL, and they look like garbage without him, right? Like, that's just how much of an impact he has. And you cannot replace Rashid. He's one of a kind. And he's probably the most successful wrist spinner to ever play the format. I think that's a safe claim at this point.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, handy with the bat, right? Now he's turning into one of the better all-rounders down the order.
One of the most unorthodox batters around as well.
Yeah, it just gives you flexibility when he can bowl as well. Can bowl with a new ball, can bowl in the middle, will bowl at the death. You know, so for a wrist spinner, it just gives you so much. I think this guy's gone way too low. Andre Russell. So I think that if you were doing an analysis of the biggest impact of any T20 player, I think it probably is Andre Russell at his peak. He was a slightly above par bowler, but was, you know, his strike rate is just absolutely ridiculous, and the way he hit the ball. And the funny thing is that I think when a player like that comes along, you're like, oh, everyone's going to start playing like Andre Russell, and no one has, right? Like, it really hasn't happened. And I think his knees went when he was around 32. And he's such a natural athlete that you kind of think that should have affected his cricket. But he's found a way to still be a plus player almost all the time. You know, even recently we saw him playing against Australia and doing some things. And to be able to do that with no cartilage in your knees is a ridiculous thing to be able to do. So I'll go Andre Russell. And then just to annoy Estelle, I'll go Lasith Malinga as my next pick. I think Jasprit Bumrah and Lasith Malinga are the two most important bowlers in T20 cricket. The only issue I'd have with having both of them in the one team is that you have then two guys who are death specialists and are probably not as great with the new ball, but it doesn't matter because we've got Rashid Khan in the side. And you know, we've already got Andre Russell with a little bit of all rounding stuff available to us there. So I've got absolutely no problem with Lasith Malinga and Bumrah being the first two picks for seam bowlers.
Yeah, no, that definitely checks out. And Dre Russ had to, you know, get picked at some point. I mean, I had him in my list. I just didn't want to miss out on Rashid because I've got Gayle and then Rashid. And of course, we're building this all-time T20 11 as a unit, but I kind of want to win this as well. So those are two solid first picks or first two picks. What does our team look like right now, Jared? Can you kind of take us through it?
This is brought to you by Cricket 8. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. We have a partnership with them where we host live watch-alongs, do podcasts and write articles. If you want to know what is really happening with our game, visit cricket8.com. Yep. Opening the batting, we have Gayle and Butler. I'm assuming at first or second drop, we have AB de Villiers. And then we have Bumrah. Russell would be batting at, let's say, six or five or six. And then we have Bumrah and Malinga with Rashid Khan.
So I'm going to just go ahead and give this team a bit more all-round strength. And we have some slots open over there in the middle order. So I'm going to go Hardik Pandya. And this is someone who, again, like I know Estelle talked about how Butler can play the phased game. Well, Pandya is versatile. He could, you know, bat in a crisis situation. And he could also just come out there and smash it out of the park, like from ball one. Someone who can bat at a ridiculously high strike rate when he wants to, when he's feeling it. And with the ball, I think he's improved like so much, right? He was even bowling the wobble seam so well in the ODI World Cup. And when he's fit, it's not that he's like a medium pacer. He can crank it up a notch. So I like that about Hardik Pandya. I also like the attitude with which he plays the sport. He's a competitor. He's a winner. And I mean, in current T20 cricket, I know this is an all-time team, but he's got to be the best pace bowling or seam bowling all-rounder out there. And he is a genuine all-rounder at that as well. So, yeah, safe pick for me, Hardik Pandya.
Yeah, I mean, my only issue with him is that he should have a strike rate of 150 in T20 cricket, and it's like 139. And that just annoys me because he could easily be 150. And this whole thing of him trying to be an anchor, I don't need you to be an anchor, mate. We can find anchors. Anyone, you know, we can make an average player into an anchor. Just go out and smack it. You know, he's bowling very similar to Andre Russell with his bowling, in that he's not a positive, like he's not a massive positive bowler, but as a fifth bowler, he's better than most fifth bowlers. And because he strikes, he's always going to get you wickets. You know, he's going to go for runs a bit like Dre Ross, but you know, he's going to get you wickets. And then I do think that I like the fact that he can bat in multiple roles. I just don't think he needs to, but I do like the fact he has that skill available to him. So, and he's someone who, you know, even a couple of years ago, you probably wouldn't have had him on this list. If he has two or three more great years, like he can, I don't know if he can get to the Andre Russell level, but he can at least be in that conversation.
Yeah. And I mean, Russell and Pandya can share their overs in this team. They don't need to bowl four overs, right? So that kind of helps our bowling lineup.
Gail's going to bowl a couple. So.
That's also true. But anyway, now we are on to Estelle for her two final picks, right? Is it? Oh, second and third. Gotcha.
Third and fourth, isn't it?
Yeah, third and fourth. You're done after
third
this.
And fourth.
No, we've got all of that wrong.
Wait.
Do we?
I'm confused.
Yeah, third and fourth.
That's true. We're doing four each. This one. Yeah, we're done. So tell her the team again so that we know.
Hardik at seven, right?
You can bat Hardik anywhere, probably. Yeah. You could have Hardik at five and Andre Russell at six if you wanted to.
AB at four.
But you could also have them at six and seven. It probably just depends on how you go. And you could have AB at four or you could have AB at three. And you could also bat at five if you needed him to.
So you need one batter and some bowlers, yeah.
Okay, so I'll go with another one from my earlier episode. I'll go with, we need Bradley. A new ball bowler, right? I'll go with Samuel Badri.
Samuel Badri, wow.
I think we already have a leg spinner. They both offer something different, right? And again, since we have Bumrah and Malinga, who will probably handle the death, you could afford to have a spinner with the new ball. So I think his record has been incredible, like we discussed in the previous episode, kind of someone who people don't really take into account that much, but has a pretty good record. So he would be then batting at probably nine.
He'd be bat at 12.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, and
I thought you were going to go with Narayan when you said someone from the previous episode.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Narayan is the obvious choice. Now, how do we fit Narayan into this side? You've completely screwed us all over. Because if you think about it, you could have picked Narayan or Shakib, and that also gives us extra batting. I mean, I love Samuel Badri, so I'm not against that. But you know, if I was in the comments anonymously. You know, I might be slating you for this pick, but okay, let's do it.
And my last pick. So Shakib was someone who I was thinking about, but now we have two leg spinners, right?
Well, you picked him.
So I'm going to go with Glenn Maxwell in the middle order.
Ooh.
Another guy who offers a lot of power, right? And he's a pretty good off-spinning option. I mean, you watch him bowl and you don't think he'd be able to do so much. But he's had some success, particularly in the last couple of years with the ball as well.
I mean, it doesn't matter. He ain't bowling in this side, is he?
Yeah. Gale's bowling ahead of him.
He's just, there's no reason to bowl him with this side. Like, but I get your general point. I think, I don't have any issue with it. I think he gets in on batting alone, right? I remember in 2020, it was at the start of lockdown, we did, it was me, Matt Roller, Gaurav, and Runnock did a thing for Crick Info about the best T20 side of all time. And they wouldn't put Maxwell in because he was considered a failure in the IPL. He's got an average of 26 in the IPL with a career strike rate of 157. But the last couple of years, he's averaged 33, 27, 42 with strike rates of 144, 169 and 183. We're now seeing what we saw of Maxwell everywhere else. We're now seeing of him in the IPL. And I think his career strike rate is 154. Just ridiculous. I remember working with him at Melbourne Stars, and it was such a cheat code to have him as a player, of all the different things you could do with him. He's also, for a period of time, probably one of the best fielders in T20 cricket as well. I know he doesn't move as well anymore, that he's broken his legs and he had some issues off field. It's probably fair to say at times.
I mean, even if he does break his leg in our team, he could still smash sixes, right? He's shown us that during the World Cup.
You know, and in our team, it's more a question of where he fits into the batting order. Because probably him and AB de Villiers are both more naturally suited to number four. But as it currently stands, one of them would have to bat at number three. But I don't think that's a huge issue.
Had Estelle picked Sunil Narayan, we could have sent him as pinch hitter at three.
Yeah, I mean, Estelle picking Sam Badri was it's caused a level of chaos that I don't think we were ready for.
Yeah, but Maxwell, though, is a solid pick. I definitely would have, opted for him as well. Even though he was lower on my list of players, like there are some people ahead of him, but I'm happy with Maxwell in there. Plus, we've got a fair few 360-degree players now. Maxwell, AB, Joss Butler. So I like that. I like how our T20 11, or all-time T20 11, has that element to it where they can just smash you anywhere and the range is off the charts. Jared, what's our team looking like right now? Because I'm going to pick a player accordingly.
Yeah, so Butler, Gale, Maxwell, De Villiers, Space, potentially. Dre Russ, Hardik, Rashid Khan, Samuel Badri, Jasprit Bumrah, Lasith Malinga. So we're missing that kind of, number six type of batter, potentially, or number five type of batter, if you wanted to go there. We can also, we've got what, one... We've only got three special, we've got four specialist bowlers, but two of them are spinners. So there's probably an option for that. And there's probably a couple of, I would say there are three elite chasers that we don't have in this side as well that you could easily slip in.
All right. So who is bowling with the new ball in this team? We've got Bumrah and Badri, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So we need a player at six who could perhaps bowl a bit, maybe give us some options with the new
ball. Malinga can bowl with a new ball, though. He can bowl one or two with that, can't he? And you could easily fit Hardik with one or two. So you don't have to pick a new ball bowler. I'm not saying don't, but I'm saying you don't. I don't think it's as necessary.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, we've got a lot of all-rounders already, so do I need to pick another all-rounder? That's what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we don't. And for that reason, I'm going to go with someone who is an out-and-out batter, and that will be David Miller. And, someone who's very reliable when it comes to six hitting towards the death. And, I've seen David Miller chase down 100 runs in like 6-7 overs in the IPL, right? I've literally remember that game vividly. And he's someone who has lasted the test of time. He's still very, very good. He's a thorough professional and also an amazing fielder. So I was tempted to go for one of Dwayne Bravo or even Abdul Razak. But we have a lot of all-rounders already. And if new ball bowling was an issue, I might have gone for Razak, But because I was then thinking along the lines of out-and-out hitter who can bat in the lower middle order, David Miller is kind of the first name that came to mind.
Okay. So I think you had three options with that player, right? And I think you have Kyron Pollard, you have MS Dhoni, and you have... we've already got Butler, so he doesn't count. And you've got David Miller. I think... I think I probably would have gone with either Dhoni or Pollard, only because there was that period in the middle of Miller's career where he wasn't as exceptional, whereas Pollard and Dhoni don't, I mean, Dhoni's played on too many years, but, you know, and with Dhoni, you also get the additional captaincy, you know, and with Pollard, you do get extra bowling. We don't need the extra bowling here, but you do get the bowling and the fielding on that other level. But yeah, I probably would have gone with one of them, but Miller was in that three. That when I said there were three guys that you could pick, I was trying to hint that it was those three guys without saying it, because I realized now that if I'd hinted to Estelle earlier that we could get a spinner who could bat, she could have picked Afridi or Narine or Shakib, and instead Samuel Badrud does.
You could go for one of those guys as the 12th man, and then we can kind of rejig the lineup, right? Or you could go with Dhoni as well, up to you.
We're going to get plastered if we don't.
Or are you going to be... Yeah, are you going to be like peak Jared and go with someone who is a 12th man?
Jim Thoat will come in. The best 12th man... Okay, the best 12th in cricket is either Fabian Allen or Hayden Walsh Jr.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to do that.
Please give us depth.
All right, so we don't have a spare bowler, a spare seamer. So we only have two frontline seamers. And then we've got Hardik and Dre Ross. So we certainly don't need another all-round option there, but we might need another specialist seamer. So that would be Stark. You could also, I don't think Dwayne Bravo is in the best team of all time, but for this particular side, Dwayne Bravo might be interesting, although you don't need him because you've got Bumrah and Malinga. And you probably don't need his batting. I kind of then think it might be the fairest to just pick the best player who's not in this squad at the moment. So that is out of what? Warner, Dhoni, Pollard.
Narine,
yeah.
Narine could really fix things for us, Jared, if you think about it.
And then Badrud doesn't play. I think Dhoni should probably be in this squad because, you know, the double... I know the last few years have been crap, but that was, you know, he kind of made the IPL by everything he did and then was absolutely brilliant at it as a tactician and everything else. And we don't have a great tactician in this. We don't have a great captain. I know Butler's won a World Cup, but, you know, and I'd love to have Glenn Maxwell running this team just because of the randomness of him opening the bowling with Chris Gayle would bring. So Dhoni should be in the team. So it's really, I think... It's Dhoni, Narine, and Stark. It's between those three.
I did all the lobbying I could. Rest is on you.
I think it has to be... I think for this particular team, should it be Stark or should it be Narine? Stark or Narine?
I am
going to go Stark, so we have the new ball bowling.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think I'll pick Stark, so we have new ball bowling, and then he can also obviously bowl in the middle, or you know, him, Malinga, and Bumrah can do whatever they need throughout the rest of the time. Narine's very unlucky. I mean, I feel like I did not pick Narine. I feel like Estelle made it impossible to fit him in to this side, and I feel that Dhoni should be in this side as well, but it's the David Miller spot that he's not in.
I mean, and Dhoni sometimes took a bit of time, right?
Oh, no. There were issues with Dhoni as well, you know. I almost think that Pollard is the best option. But if you're looking at the team as it currently stands, it doesn't have a captain. And so as I said, it doesn't have a captain. and so, you know, so I feel that. But I think if you, the way that this is written on paper at the moment, it is missing one extra seam bowler. And I think if that is the case, then it has to be, it has to be Stark that comes in because also otherwise we didn't have a left arm bowler in this. And
that's fair.
I think that's fair.
We do have a couple of part-time spin options, off spin options, right? And Chris Gayle and Glenn Maxwell. So
yeah, I think because we have Maxwell in there and you know, Gayle if you want him, but certainly because you have Maxwell in there, you probably don't need an extra, especially with Sunil Narine, an extra off spinner. I know he's not a traditional off spinner and everything else. But yeah, I feel like, you know, I feel like if I was making this side, I think I would have had Narine and Pollard or Dhoni in that side. But because of the way the side has fallen, I have to pick Mitchell Starc in this position. And apologies to all the CSK fans out there ahead of time. But I just remember, I would have had Doney in. It's the other two screwed you over, not me. Let's go through the team.
Righto.
In batting order, we'll do this, and then we'll go through the picks. So we have Gail, Butler. Let's go Maxwell, De Villiers, Miller, Hardik, Russell, Rashid,
Starc.
Starc, Bumrah, Malinga with Badri on the bench, or Badri in for Starc. Those are probably the two that are interchangeable in those positions. Especially because they're both going to bowl with a new ball, right? So it probably makes more sense if you bring in one for the other in that sort of situation. So the picks were, Estelle picked Bumrah, Butler, Badri, Maxwell. Sorry, the voice just broke on Badri. I didn't mean it. Bayram picked Gail, Rashid, Hardik, Miller. And I went De Villiers, Andre Russell, Lasith Malinga, and Mitch Starc. And that's where we are with that.
So you guys definitely do let us know in the comments who you think won this. And also, what sort of changes would you have made to the overall all-time T20 11, right? Because we're drafting. We don't get to pick our teams such.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing with this. Mm. This isn't the greatest team of all time, only because it's the way it has gone together anyway. Because I think you can make a claim that Samuel Badri should be in this team, but he's caused issues by being in the team, right? The same that David Miller has. That doesn't mean that they're not in the best team. It's the way that you draft causes those sorts of things. So, you know, you could easily make a couple of changes here and have a slightly better team. But remember, when we're drafting, that's not how it works. And once Estelle stuffs things up, you just have to roll with it afterwards.
Anyway, if you guys enjoyed this episode, do give us a like, share this with your friends, and subscribe to both this channel and Jared's other channel on YouTube. We'll be back with another episode of Prick Picks next week.
Prick Pricks? Did you call it Prick Pricks?
I said something like that. I'm fasting.
We can
guys,
do that episode as well, right? Prick Pricks.
Absolutely. So yeah, next episode of Prick Picks will be next week. That's all for today. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bayram Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make any content, Minvo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minvo.pro now.